Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hi, friends. It's Amber and Kelly. And after a very crazy month, we're taking the week off and bringing you a special encore episode of Country Heat Weekly.
First off, thanks so much to our Twitch family who tuned into the pre-show we had on Black Friday. We love y'all. Now, if you missed any of it, or if you just want to relive all the excitement and the special guest, you can watch it on demand.
Just go to twitch.tv/Amazon Music and look under the videos tab. Or if you have the Twitch app, it's on the Amazon Music channel page.
So the very first episode of Country Heat Weekly for 2023 introduced you to the new class of Amazon Music's breakthrough artists to watch. Our center stage spotlight was focused on a talented newcomer named Megan Maroney.
Fast forward less than a year later, and her debut single was a top 10 hit. She won the CMT Female Breakthrough Video and was nominated for New Artist Awards from both the CMA and the ACM.
And now she's on the Country Heat playlist with both her follow-up single, I'm Not Pretty, and a duet with Old Dominion.
What a year it's been for her. So this will be a fun look back at how it all started. And then we'll be back to wrap the year up with two holiday editions of Country Heat Weekly.
I am very excited for those. We'll have Maddie and Day and John Party.
Find and follow Country Heat Weekly so you'll never miss an episode.
And he was like, well, just move to Nashville. Like, that was great. Like, you're ready. Just move. And so I told my parents, I'm like, Chase Rice said I'm ready to move to Nashville. My parents were like, hell no. Like, that's not happening. You're going to graduate. And I wasn't going to fight with them on that.
What's up, y'all? I'm Dylan Snyder, and I'm an Amazon Music Breakthrough Artist to Watch of 2023.
I'm Warren Ziders.
I'm Madeline Edwards.
I am Nate Smith. I am one of Amazon Music's Breakthrough Artists to Watch 2023.
Hey, I'm Avery Anna.
It's Dalton Dover.
And I'm Jackson Dean, class of 23.
This is Megan Maroney stepping into the center stage spotlight on this episode of Country Heat Weekly. Here we go.
Happy 2023, y'all. I'm Kelly Sutton. So glad that you found Country Heat Weekly, the destination for country music fans.
I'm Amber Anderson, back at the Country Heat House on Music Row in Nashville after a couple weeks off. Mm. I rang in the new year here in Nashville, but unlike Kelly partying with 210,000 of her closest friends downtown at Nashville's Big Bash, I was just down the street at Soho House Nashville with a very, it was a pretty big party, but it wasn't 210,000 strong.
It was a big crowd. It was a big crowd. Did you stay up till midnight?
I did the countdown, and we called our lift at 12:05.
Oh, good for you.
It was clutch. Home by 12:15.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the way to do
that's
it.
That's really nice.
Okay, so you were downtown in the middle of the madness for Nashville's New Year's Eve party. Tell me all about it.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. This is the second year that we have had a broadcast on a national outlet on CBS, and the performances were unbelievable. I was in the middle of where everything was happening live. It was just an incredible way to ring in 2023, and I think it showcased our city in such a positive light.
Well, we are back in a big way with our first episode of 2023. We have a brand new class of Amazon Music's Breakthrough Artist to Watch program.
Yes, it's an initiative that puts Amazon's marketing support behind artists that they really believe in. You're going to see them on billboards and special live streams and featured here on our podcast.
Last year's class included Bailey Zimmerman, Willie Jones, Lily Rose, and Rana Roberts.
Now, throughout the next couple of months, we'll be getting to know all of these new acts better, starting with today's center stage guest, Megan Maroney.
No, I did not wear Tennessee Orange in honor of her visit. I did not, but we will do a little sports trash talking. We'll dig into her debut EP and learn how Chase Rice was a big part of her coming to town.
I can't wait to find out more about that story. Now, last weekend, music fans the world over mourned the passing of Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters. And that reminded us they actually made some country music history.
We'll look back on that in our Rediscover segment later in the show. I learned a few things in prepping for that, which I always love. Before that, though, we will check in with the hottest music on the Country Heat playlist this week and get the stars to reveal some of their plans for 2023 in this week's Burning Question.
But now we need to reveal the rest of the 2023 Amazon Music Breakthrough Artist to Watch.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This announcement leads off our What's Cooking segment. Amazon Music has named 8 rising country stars to their esteemed list. Some of these are artists brand new to the scene, and some of them have already had some tunes on the Country Heat playlist.
Like Nate Smith, Avery Anna, and Megan Maroney.
Yep. And joining them in the class of 2023 are Dylan Schneider, Madeline Edwards, whom we love, Warren Zeiders, and Dalton Dover. Have you met any of them besides Madeline, Kelly?
I don't think I have. I have not had the pleasure, but I've heard some really good things about all of them, so I can't wait. The final artist on the list is Jackson Dean, who has already had a number one single that's been heard on Yellowstone. Now, we've been watching him for a while.
I love his voice. He just released a new single. It's called Fearless, The Echo.
For the next couple of weeks, we're going to let you be a fly on the wall during the video shoot for these artists to watch, and we'll let you get to know them just a little bit better.
Jackson's actually going to be on the podcast in a couple of weeks, but here's a sneak peek.
My name is Jackson Dean. I am 22 years old. I've been playing music about 7-8 years now. I'm from Odenton, Maryland. I grew up on a dead-end street with a gun range at the end of it in the back of a flood zone, and it all backed up to state land, so massive amounts of land around me, but 2 miles up the road was just suburbs and civilization, you know. So there weren't too many kids, I guess, like me around into doing country-ish shit like we were.
In other news, Dolly Parton has announced that she's written a new children's book called Billy the Kid Makes It Big. You think my 13-year-old will let me read her a bedtime story still?
Highly doubtful if I know her. Especially since this book is geared toward kids 4 to 7.
Aw.
But it stars a singing dog, so we're clearly going to need a copy for the Country Heat House.
It's the perfect companion to Dolly's Doggy Parton line of pet products, which, of course, my dog Wicket is a big fan of.
This will be Dolly's third children's book, and it will come out on April 25th.
And finally, we needed to send a huge hug and a shout out to Lady A's Charles Kelly, who has released a powerful new solo song called As Far As You Could. It's a goodbye letter to alcohol.
But it's time I finally put you down for good. 'Cause you've taken me as far as you could.
Lady A fans remember they postponed their Request Line tour last fall so Charles could focus on his sobriety. He wrote this song with Jimmy Robbins and band member Dave Haywood, who plays several instruments on the track.
We know this is a tough journey. It's not always linear, so just know that we're rooting for you, Charles.
So proud of you.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've explored the Country Heat playlist, so let's dive in to what's new on Amazon Music's flagship country playlist.
Did you see Billy Currington has a new track out? It's a duet with Jesse James Decker called I Still Love You.
But I still love you.
I
I am truly obsessed with this song.
I love a Billy Currington jam.
I mean, it might seem like an odd pairing at first, but the two actually are longtime friends, and they recorded a song together back in 2015 called Good Night, just never made it as a single.
Ooh, I'll need to go back and check that out, for sure. A song that gets stuck in my head a lot recently is Brett Young's new one, You Didn't.
Brett tells us this sad song is purely a work of fiction.
The interesting thing is it's four happily married men with families writing a sad song. But I think this is about as sad as it gets because nobody's mad in the song. It's the guy being like, I don't even blame you. I had that title for a long time because I thought those breakup songs somehow hurt worse when nobody did anything wrong. It just didn't work out because I think everybody's had that. Don't let one teardrop fall, girl, you think it's your fault.
Have you seen the billboards around town for Zach Bryan's Something in the Orange?
Yes, I passed them on my way home from the Opry. They're campaigning for Grammy votes for Something in the Orange. To you, I'm just a man. To me, you're all I am. Where the hell am I supposed to go? Poison myself again. Something in the orange tells me you're never coming.
This song has been on the Country Heat playlist forever, it seems like, but it just keeps getting hotter. It leads off Amazon Music's Best of 2022 Country playlist and is top five on all the most streamed lists.
This year's New Year's Eve Live, Nashville's Big Bash, showcased several songs on the Country Heat playlist, I noticed, including Lainey Wilson's Heart Like a Truck, Dierks Bentley's Gold, and Luke Bryan's Country On. I bet they get a big bump in streaming from being showcased on network TV like that. Find and follow Country Heat exclusively on Amazon Music.
We're about to go to break, but first, we're going to read a quote from one of the artists on the Country Heat playlist, and you guys get to guess who said that.
And then when we come back from the break, we'll play the audio to see if you were right.
This week's quote is, "My crowd is getting a little older, so they don't get out there and drink as much." So sometimes you can overestimate your tolerance and drink a little too much.
Wait, that sounds like it's maybe a veteran artist, but I feel like someone said this to us recently. It's very familiar.
Keep listening and we'll tell you right here on Country Heat Weekly.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Underwood.
I'm Dierks Bentley.
And I'm Bailey Zimmerman. There's plenty more Country Heat Weekly when we come back.
Okay, it's time to tell you who said that.
Well, my crowd's getting a little older, so they probably don't get out and drink as much. So sometimes you can overestimate your tolerance if you get out there and drink a little too much.
Sam Hunt!
Okay, I remember now. You were talking to him about rowdy crowds and how crazy they can get after you saw him in concert.
Yes, several arrests in the crowd.
Oh!
I don't think I'd call his crowd older, though.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything, from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Today's center stage guest was born and raised in Georgia and is an alumni of the University of Georgia. Go Dogs. This is an important fact to remember for later.
During her freshman year in college, she got the chance of a lifetime to play her first major gig opening for Chase Rice.
This summer, she released her EP, Pistol Made of Roses, and shortly thereafter went viral for the song that's featured on our Country Heat playlist, Tennessee Orange.
I mean, as a Gators fan, that kind of hurts my heart. I like a different shade of orange. Go Gators. But the song has been racking up an impressive 5 million streams per week. And a lot of things have happened since this song took over social media. So we want to know what's coming up next.
Sports rivalries aside, we are both very excited that Megan Maroney is here, and she was just announced as one of Amazon Music's breakthrough artists to watch for 2023. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So glad that you're here. Okay, so born and raised in Georgia, which I know is known for giving us great music, and not just country, so Southern rock, R&B. So what are your earliest memories of music?
I would say just being in the car listening to music. So it was like if I was in the car with my mom, we were listening to country radio. If I was in the car with my dad, we were listening to like Eagles, James Taylor, Jackson Browne, that kind of stuff. And I think my dad would always be like, listen to this lyric that James Taylor wrote. And I'm like seven. So I'm like, Dad, I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And my dad, like, even from that age was like, no, it's cool because he's like explaining to me lyrics and stuff like that. And my dad was just definitely pushing the whole lyric thing on me very early. But my mom was kind of just like, just listen to the radio.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
When did you start singing? Was it when you were little?
Yeah, I mean, I always sang for fun. I sang in the living room with my dad, but it was nothing beyond that. They knew I could sing, but they never really pushed me to do anything. I think I did a talent show when I was in like fourth or fifth grade. That was the first time I like got in front of people and did anything.
Did you play any instruments?
My parents made me do piano lessons when I was younger. They were trying to like have me, you know, classically trained, like a classically trained pianist. And I'm like, I was trying to learn High School Musical songs, you know what I mean?
We're all the kids together.
I was just, yeah, I learned how to read music and stuff. So I'm glad they made me do that. But it didn't really stick with me.
Okay, so went to Georgia. What'd you major in?
So I went to UGA to be an accountant. So I was an accounting major, and I thought that's what I was going to do after I got to do the Chase Rice thing is when I changed my major. So I graduated with marketing, digital marketing, and music business. So once I knew I wanted to move to Nashville, I changed it. But I initially was going for accounting.
So tell us about the Chase Rice thing. Like, how did that all happen?
So I was in a sorority. I was Kappa Delta at UGA. And in the spring, we had a philanthropy event. And during that time, I would always sing in the living room with my dad. Like, that was what I did when I was home. And once Instagram, like, became a thing, I started to post videos of me and my dad singing. You know, when you rush a sorority, like, you don't know everybody, but they can look you up on Instagram. So, like, I got the reputation of, like, oh, she's the country singer, just because I was singing, like, covers with my dad or whatever. So we hired John Langston to come, and we used all of our budget on him, and they needed an opener. And they were like, well, Megan's a country singer. I wasn't writing at the time, but I could get up and play, you know what I mean? So me and my dad played the philanthropy event. We opened for John Langston. I played like three cover songs, two Miranda Lambert songs and Strawberry Wine probably.
That's a solid set.
Solid set. And at that show, I think like because of Chase's routing in his tour, he was in Athens trying to promote his show in Athens. It was the next month. Him and John were buddies. So John was like, well, I'm playing this thing. You should just come by and sing a song. So Chase Wright at our philanthropy event comes up and sings a song and is like, oh, and I'm going to be at the Georgia Theater next month. You know, like, I think they're still like trying to sell some tickets or whatever. And after, he was just like, you know, you should open for me at the Georgia Theater next month. And I had not done anything like that at all ever. But I obviously couldn't say no. But his one condition was that I had to write a song. So that's why I wrote my first song.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was like, you can't just get up there and play covers. That's weird. And
oh,
I was like,
my God.
I'm like, that's fair.
Oh,
like,
my God. So I love that so much.
What was the song? It was called Stay a Memory. It wasn't bad. Melody was solid. There was a hook, like, nothing that I would do anything with nowadays, but for, like, a first song, it wasn't so bad. But, like, the Georgia Theater was, like, my first real gig, like, playing for people who had paid to be there.
Were you just beyond nervous? Like, talk to us about what did that feel like?
I'm nervous for you.
Me too. I'm like, okay, so Chase Rice walks into your sorority event and says, come open for me at the Georgia Theater.
P.S.
You gotta write a song. And then you have to get up and perform that song in front of his audience.
Well, fortunately, I got to play that show with my dad and my brother. So that made me not nervous. You know what I mean? Because I was like, we practiced too. I had a month in advance. So you best believe for those 30 days, I was like practicing like my 30-minute set. I'm like, it's crazy, honestly.
That is such a cool story.
I don't know how that even happened.
Yeah. That's amazing. So do you live in Nashville now?
I do.
You're here now. When did you decide, okay, I'm all in, push all the chips on the table, and I'm moving to Nashville to do this?
Well, Chase saw my face when I got off stage and he was like, oh, so you really like this? And I was like, yeah. I like, what was that? Like, I have never experienced anything like that and I want to do that again. And he was like, well, just move to Nashville. Like, that was great. Like, you're ready. Just move. And so I told my parents, I'm like, Chase Rice said I'm ready to move to Nashville. And so my parents were like, hell no. Like, that's not happening. You're going to graduate. And I wasn't going to fight with them on that. And I'm glad I got the college experience, and that was the end of my freshman year. So at the beginning of my sophomore year, I changed my major to marketing, digital marketing, got in the music business program. So after that show, I was like, I'm all in. My parents won't let me move yet, but I'll just drop the accounting thing. So I was like, let's do something that is applicable to what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, and it's so, that was so smart. Not only are you honing your own artist skills, but you're learning the business side too. So
well, really until smart. Like 2 weeks ago, I did everything. Like all the marketing plans were mine. The music business program too, like made you have an internship. So I was a publishing intern. I learned how to like log all my publishing. You know what I mean? So it's like
brilliant.
It's stuff that like, I'm glad that I knew how to do that.
So being here in Nashville, what has the experience been like for you?
It's been amazing. I've been here for like 2.5 years now. The first year I moved, so I graduated May 2020, technically on Zoom. I graduated.
Oh.
And then I moved June 1st. So I kind of just convinced my parents. And honestly, my parents only let me move because they knew that I had a degree. My dad obviously can sing and play guitar, but he doesn't really know anything about the music business. Had he known how hard it is to be a songwriter and stuff, they wouldn't have let me move here. But they were like, you have a degree. So that's what I told them. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come up here. I'm going to try it. And if it doesn't work, I do have a degree. So like in some capacity, I want to be in music. So I'll figure it out. But I need to go there to figure it out.
Your debut EP came out July 15th, Pistol Made of Roses. You released it independently. 6 songs on the project. Did you write all of them?
I did. I moved in June and I had my first co-write on Zoom in December. So from like June to December, I was still doing the influencer thing to pay my bills. So I didn't have my first write until December. So it took basically 8 months maybe to write that. And I just was writing every day. It was just meeting new people, finding out who my people were. And we recorded it in January. The first single came out in April and then the whole thing came out in July. So I kind of just like kept my head down and I would write every day.
Everybody's up to something. Chairs down. They said you bought a ring and you found the one. Now I'm heartbroken in a hair salon.
Let's talk about the song Hair Salon. Such a great story song. Tell us about writing it.
I got with, it was Mackenzie Carpenter, Micah Carpenter, and Ben. And we write really well together. And there was one day where we just couldn't write anything. Like we kept throwing around ideas and nothing was really hitting. We start at 11, so we're in there for 2 hours. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I have this thing about a hair salon. I am a sad songwriter, but how I portray myself to the public is like, oh, I'm not hurt. I'm a tough girl. So I was like, let's make it a funny song. And they're like, no, we're making this a sad song. Make it funny. And they're like, girl, you're damaged and we need to talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. let's get into it.
That was like the first song that I wrote that was like, I felt like I didn't have to go and try to prove myself as a songwriter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah, no, I did do that. Because I feel like doing the influencer thing, too, they're like, oh, can she actually write a song? Or is she just a pretty girl? You know what I mean? Mm. And I'm like, no, that was my idea. And we wrote it.
Okay, so you put out this EP. You're doing all the promotion for it. And then less than 6 weeks later, we get Tennessee Orange. And that's not on the album. So when did you write this song?
I wrote it, I actually looked at my phone the other day, April 12th, 2022. Very specific.
So how did that hopscotch everything else?
We thought like the way I write songs is like, if I really like it now, I'm probably not going to like it in a year because of how much I write. You know what I mean? And it's not that I would think it's a bad song, but I would, like, I told Julie, by this time next year, I'm probably going to have another, like, football song that I like more or something. And then what are we going to do with this? Mm-hmm. And so an opportunity came up and we were like, well, I guess we got to put it out and it's got to be out the first week of football season. But yeah, that was completely rushed. We tracked everything, recorded vocals, and it was mixed and mastered on the same day because it had to be turned in. And just the process of that, that was a completely like DIY thing. The cover is from my friend. She went to school there. And I was like, I don't have any photos of Tennessee. I don't have time to go like plan a whole photo shoot and like get me in a, you know what I mean? So yeah. I was like, I edited the cover art myself. I had a graphic designer help me put like the words on it or whatever. But as far as the picture goes, like I had to completely like Photoshop it, make it blurry. Like everything is all very rushed. Which I think it's funny because it's my biggest song. and like with Hair Salon too, like as far as comping vocals go, like I like every word to sound perfect, you know what I mean? Or like I'll go in there and be like, I didn't like the way I said the word and like no one would notice.
Yeah.
But with Tennessee Orange, I didn't really do that at all. I didn't have time. Having Tennessee Orange out and how well it did, it's brought people back to the EP, which I'm thankful for. I'm glad that Tennessee Orange didn't blow up before I had the EP out because they would have nothing to go listen to.
That's true.
In Georgia, they call it sin. I'm wearing Tennessee orange brim.
So, did you put this on TikTok or how did it like really catch?
Well, I posted it on TikTok a couple weeks after I had written it. And I noticed that people were starting to like make it a trend. Like, the I met somebody, he's got blue eyes. Like, they were using the sound of me in a guitar. So I was like, if they're making videos to like that, imagine if they had like the actual track, you know, yeah, like it might do well. It's been wild with Tennessee Orange. I can't even process
any
of that. Yeah.
Okay, but I have to ask a question. Do you really wear Tennessee Orange being a Georgia fan? Because I would struggle with that. I don't know if I could ever love someone that much that I would change the orange I wear.
You're not going to like this, but I would never wear Florida orange. I am okay with Tennessee orange.
I mean, I get it. Talking to a Georgia fan, yeah. I totally understand.
You're loyal to your oranges. Yeah.
I am. Well, being part of the Breakthrough Artist to Watch program means you'll be seeing a lot of Kelly and I. I can assure you, we'll be following you and sharing your journey with all of our listeners, and we cannot wait to see what the year brings for you. Thank you so much for being with
for
us today.
Me. I'm so excited.
Our Rediscover segment shines the spotlight on overlooked artists, forgotten hits, or sometimes music we just haven't heard in a while.
With last weekend's passing of Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters, we thought we'd take a minute to rediscover a country hit by the Grammy-winning R&B group.
The four sisters were born and raised in California, but they had family roots in Arkansas. Cross-country road trips to see their grandparents in the rural town of Prescott, Arkansas, were a regular occurrence.
Anita particularly fell in love with the rural way of life and actually attended school in Prescott for a few years as a teenager. And that, of course, exposed her to country music. But all of the sisters sang some country music as they grew up.
There were four sisters in total, Anita, Ruth, and Bonnie and June, who originally started performing as a duo. They later started performing as a quartet and released their debut album, The Pointer Sisters, in 1973.
The group's lone entrance on the country charts was a song called Fairy Tale. It was written by Anita and Bonnie and recorded here in Nashville.
The sisters weren't trying to go country. It was just a slice of their musical influences. In fact, it first appeared as a B-side on a record called Love in Them There Hills.
Sounds like a country song.
Well, pop radio didn't really much care for it, but they did flip the song over and discover Fairy Tale. And someone decided it would be a good idea to send the sisters to Nashville to promote the song to country radio.
Now, this was the early 70s. Charlie Pride was the only artist of color to have found real success at country radio. So it was a gamble.
But this gamble paid off. In August of 1974, the Pointer Sisters performed at the Speedway here in Nashville. They were so well received that someone from the Grand Ole Opry invited them to perform.
The sisters made their Grand Ole Opry debut on October 25th, 1974, making them the first Black vocal group to perform on country music's most famous stage. Sadly, the ladies later learned that there were protesters outside the Opry House that night with signs that read, "Keep country music country."
Fairy Tale barely cracked the top 40 country charts, peaking at 37. So country radio was clearly not on board with welcoming the crossover act into the fold.
But The sisters got the last laugh, garnering two country Grammy nominations that year, winning the 1974 Grammy for Best Country Vocal Performance by a Duo or Group.
Eventually, Bonnie left the group, and then as a trio, the Pointer Sisters found massive success in the 80s with hits like Jump and Neutron Dance. But Anita wasn't quite done with Nashville yet.
She recorded a duet with Earl Thomas Conley in 1986 called Too Many Times. The pair didn't know each other, but someone thought they would sound good together and got them in the studio.
Oh, too many times I felt I should be freer. And too many times I
the duo performed it on TNN and promoted it together. The song made it all the way to number two on the country charts, with ETC calling it a highlight of his career.
Anita died Saturday at the age of 74 after a battle with cancer. But she and her sisters left us with a lot of great music that you can rediscover on Amazon Music. Okay, that wraps up the first episode of 2023. We are setting the bar high for this year because next week, four of our favorite guys will be here.
Old Dominion!
The guys have a brand new single called Memory Lane, and they have more music on the way. We are going to get all the details when they stop by the Country Heat House to tell us about it.
Plus, we'll showcase another one of the talented Amazon Music Breakthrough Artists to Watch for 2023, Nate Smith.
And in the weeks ahead, we're going to welcome Hardy, Jackson Dean, and Madeline Edwards to the Center Stage Spotlight.
Keep in touch and let us know your favorite guests and features on the show. Use the hashtag Country Heat Weekly in your posts. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey, it's Amber A.
And I'm the Kelly Sutton. Okay, over the last couple of months in 2022, we asked the stars what was on the work calendar for 2023.
We know Kelsea Ballerini has big plans for the year, opening up for both Kenny Chesney and Shania Twain. But apparently, there are more things coming. Sometime.
There's a lot. I'm doing a lot next year. There is certainly stuff happening before spring, and then also certainly things happening after spring and also into the fall.
Jackson Dean's plans are a little more cemented.
January, I'm going into go cut a new record, so all new music. Then we're going out on tour with Blake and Carly Pierce, which is going to be a lot of fun. Those are big places. It's a hell of an opportunity, and I'm very grateful for it.
Here are some more sneak peeks of the year ahead from Bailey Zimmerman, Maddie and Tay, Jason Aldean, and Cole Swindell.
Just releasing a lot more music and seeing how people react to like some of the stuff I've been writing and stuff, because I don't want to stick on one sound, you know? So I kind of just want to like hang out and just do music that I love. So I'm excited to release that and see how they react, see how people like it or don't like it.
New music, another tour, more headlining shows and everything.
Well, we're going to go in, I think in January, start working on a new album. You know, that'll kind of give us a jump on everything.
You know, I went and did some shows with Thomas Rhett, you know, last year, but it was short-lived. We're like, man, we didn't get to go to enough cities. This tour is too fun to stop. So when he asked, I thought about it, and I was like, hey, I can handle another summer with my buddy.
Country Heat Weekly is a production of Amazon Music and Wondery. Executive producer is Melissa Locker for Nevermind Media. Senior producer is Joyce Reiser.
Recording engineer, Aaron Dethridge. Sound design by Debbie Daughtry. Production assistants from Rick Hamilton, Annie Reuter, Madeline O'Connell, Tim Einenkel, and Jeremy Chua.
Our theme song, Country Time, was written and performed by Mia Byrne. The team for Amazon Music and Wondery includes Nathan Brackett, Michelle Kammerer, Emily Feld, Callum Blues, Emily Belote, and Jenny Tay. The executive producers for Wondery are Dave Easton and Marshall Louie.
Essential production support from Marley, Steve, Grace, Winnie, Moses, Wicket, Osmo, Abby, and all the other very good dogs out there.
Find and follow Country Heat Weekly on Amazon Music or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you'll get the latest episodes just as soon as they drop. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at listenerstudy.com.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.